Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
It's In This League with Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh. On the radio.
30. I'm on right now. I don't believe you.
You boys in line.
Welcome back. Hour two of In This League live. Not really. On Sports Grid, it is Scott Bogman right there, the purveyor of college and NFL draft information. It's me, the Welsh. You can find me on Twitter at IsItTheWelsh, the prognosticator of prospect prosperity. Would that work?
Yeah.
Is that good?
Sure.
It wasn't good. Is that something?
We'll go with that.
Is that like fine. A Bregman type of thing? Like boom, boom. Prosperity, prospective, something like that. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Whatever. Losing my mind in my old age. Yeah, I'm going to turn 37 in like a month. I guess it's like two months.
Yeah, it's old news. I've already done that. So.
Oh, yeah. How's it feel?
It feels like you're older. I mean, it doesn't. No difference made. So.
It's about to be worse. It's all about to be worse. So, bunch in the first hour. If you missed it, we were talking over a million different things, talking about TGFBI right now. Our buddy Justin Mason in the Great Fantasy Baseball Invitational. I don't even know if I said that as the name. Everybody is. How many rounds do we go? 30. We're probably on average. We're probably just about halfway there for everybody. And that's not horrible. It's about a week. Some drafts are dragging. Yours is about two rounds ahead of mine. As everyone's listening to this, we're probably around 13, 14. Again, recording a little bit before. But the Great Fantasy Baseball Invitational, really a ton. I mean, 300-plus industry people across the board vying for, the number one overall spot. Clay Link was the initial champion, Todd Zola. And I would tell you, it's quite a testament. That's kind of what this whole thing is about. There's not really money on the line, or there's not, or anything like that. It's kind of a clout thing, but look at the two champions from the past 2 years. I mean, it's not like some fluky thing. Clay Link is legit. Probably that 2018 season in fantasy that Clay had was one of the biggest runs of anything. And, Todd Zola is a master of it all. So this is, it's no slouch. So got to be on your A game. Some things have to fall your way in TGFBI, 15 teams. There's two catchers in there. You've also got to be on your game. You don't win your draft in the first couple picks, but it doesn't hurt, and you're going to win these in the later rounds.
I would say, and I don't know if you agree with me, but I think that the hardest thing about TGFBI is winning the Fab War. I think that you can draft a decent team, but everybody has to make decent pickups. And if you're not winning that, and that doesn't mean spending right away. It just doesn't. It just means you have to pick your battles. You have to really think about the Fab more than you do in pretty much any other league. And, it's crazy seeing where the guys go and how much for and how much the most crazy person paid for somebody.
Dude,
I mean,
you're 100% right. I mean, to more of your point, if you sit by too long and you miss out, it kills you. But making the one wrong one, it killed me last year. I made the wrong prospect move, and I mean, how much do we get? Is it 500 or 1,000?
I think it's 1,000.
Okay, so yeah. I mean, I spent a quarter of my Fab budget on Carter Kieboom on the call up.
I spent a lot on him too.
Yeah, and I think I had I just don't fully remember my team at all. And I was actually really, if you remember Boggs, I was like in the top 30 for like the first month.
Yeah, you were
month.
There for a while. Yeah.
And then I had Judge and Altuve.
Joe and I were way down at the bottom, you know?
Yeah.
And since then, we are also way down at the bottom of like the overall standings.
Oh, so. Yeah. You were looking at yeah. the, but you did beat him. You looked at the overall average standings.
I'm like 537 or whatever, 257. I don't know how many people are in there, but I'm way down there, and Joe is exactly one spot below me.
It's so great. You're so
I
happy about that.
One spot ahead of Joe. That's all I care about.
But like I was doing really good, and then I had Judge and Altuve, and they both had some injuries, which killed me. But then I had this need, and I was like, okay, I think shortstop was a bad position for me that year, and I spent up on Kiboom, and then he sucked ass, and then he never came back up. And it was a big killer. So you know what? You're dead on about Fab being really, really important about this. But it's a good skill set learning. I think it's really interesting for people listening to go check out the boards. You know, if there's people you specifically like, go see how the draft went for them. And they've got the TGFBI is going to have boards of like averages of, you know, all the leagues combined, what a player went on average, the highs, the lows, this, that, the other thing. They're going to do all that fun stuff. But we're talking about my team because Bogman and Bubba are going to go through it. So the first two picks were, and I think I tweeted about this, they were literal pivots, Bogman. Like Tatis Jr. was me pivoting off of wanting Turner or Soto. Neither fell to me. And then Verlander was a pivot from Jose Ramirez because I had just resigned myself to taking Ramirez. So I had to readjust to those. And I mean, what do you think about that start? It's kind of Tatis is a super big risk passing up Arenado and Bregman, but I wanted the power speed. And Verlander was kind of a gift, to be honest with you, to have a safe pitcher like him going the second for me. The sixth pitcher, by the way.
People might have scoffed when you took Fernando Tatis at 13. I think he's a first rounder, but whatever. I mean, Verlander's a first rounder too, so just flip flop him. Who cares? So I think you have a perfectly normal start. I love going pitcher hitter. I did the same bit with Arenado and Scherzer, so I'm all about that. I love that.
Now I
get
was
a top four pitcher. I mean, I don't like that. Verlander hurt his groin the other day.
But, no, thank you. I mean, but he's got someone to take care of that groin for him. Maybe the best in the business.
I think so.
Kate Upton.
I mean, I don't know if she's the best in the business, but she'll get it done. So.
She's
not a professional like some of the. I can give you some names that might do it better, but
like Lana Rhodes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Lana, is she
what? Have you seen the clothes that she tries to sell?
I do. Oh, it's literally just like a picture that she puts on a shirt that she has taken. It's the dumbest thing on the planet. She'll literally just take a picture with her phone, and it is so stupid, and then they'll just put it on a shirt.
It says, support your local F-boy. I'm like, who's wearing that?
Who is wearing that? Just dumb people. That guy who has 37 parking tickets is wearing it 100%. So in the third round,
Hope he's a Niners so bad. I hope the Niners take him. I would love it so much.
I pray not. God. So in the third round, I had my sight set on Ketel Marte, and that didn't happen. He went in the ninth pick in the third round. I was looking at Adalberto Mondesi. Those were a couple players I was looking at, but I'm one pick away. And Bogman, I am honed in on Giancarlo Stanton. I am locked into getting Stanton, and this mother trucker, Team 12, snaps him up in front of me. What a goddamn blessing that was in disguise, because I'm telling you right now, I was swooping his ass up with that pick because I wanted the big power to go with it. He got taken right in front of me. So again, this was a pivot move for me. The third pick, I had to pivot off of my strategy.
Can you believe that I had the chance to take Giancarlo Stanton in the fourth round and I didn't do it?
And you didn't do it.
I did not do it because Pete Alonso was still available for me. First base, way harder to get than outfield this season.
I mean, that's a gift.
I took Pete Alonso.
He went the second round of mine. So what I decided to do is, again, I went off book here. Charlie Blackmon was available. Jose Altuve was available. This is pick, I don't know what the hell it was, 43, I think. I wanted, because I had made the commitment to kind of the stats, you know, going stat heavy, I went John VR, something I don't normally do because I only had a shortstop, but VR qualifies at second and short and is going to get outfield eligibility. And I wanted Robles coming back. He went the very next pick. I was going to take Blackman. He was the very next pick after that. But Altuve fell back, Boggs. So what I've now done, and it may be end up killing me, I took Altuve in the fourth round, which was pick like 48. But I have three guys that qualify in the middle infield, except my game plan is VR. I can move to the outfield and I'll have Altuve at second, Tatis at short, and then I have another pivot plan. So what did you think about the VR Altuve, you know, back to back?
I love that. I mean, I think you're getting Altuve at a discount there. I think people are afraid because he's going to get beaned a bunch. Didn't Bregman get hit in his first at bat in spring training or something?
Like, yeah, it was like a curveball or something. But
yeah, I mean, those guys are going to get drilled. And so they're going to have to wear the Craig Biggio armor. So they'll start wearing stuff to protect themselves and all of that. They'll be fine. So I think people are worried about it. But you get a quality second baseman coming off of a, you know, quote unquote down year for him because he didn't hit 330.
Yeah, but good average, you know, high run RBI, homers are there. Maybe he runs a little bit more. I mean,
well, they don't have the trash cans. They'll have to produce some more runs.
That's right.
He should be running some more. And then VR, you get a, you know, about 40 swipes, you would assume.
That's my hope.
Obviously, he's been a little bipolar, but the Marlins are a team that's really going to need to produce runs. So, and like you said, he's going to be flexible at second and at outfield, you know, should something happen to Altuve. So, I love that start. I think it's real good.
So I guess we'll go into the next segment. I didn't mean to spend this long on it, but just taking a look here, my round 5 and 6 picks, you know, again, there's lots of hopes. I wasn't in love where I was.
There's lots of hopes and dreams that were crushed.
They were.
I
mean, they totally were. I mean, Chris Bryant, Paul Goldschmidt went 2 picks before me. I needed a first baseman, but pitching was a problem. I had kind of resigned myself that the best available guy might be Jose Berríos. But I was pleasantly surprised in the 5th round to get Tyler Glasnow on the back end. So I got Tyler Glasnow as my second pitcher, and I was honed in on one guy, Joey Gallo. Massive power, and it swung 4 picks around, and I was able to pick him up in the 6th round. So I've now got, you know, power.
You got Gallo.
I got Gallo. So I'm saying I got Gallo with the power. I got Tatis with power speed, VR with the speed and some power, and Altuve. I mean, and I got Verlander and Glasnow. This is a very off-brand draft of mine, but statistically and categorically, I'm checking a lot of boxes here.
Putting
outside
together,
of batting average.
Man. Yeah. Do you have a closer yet?
I do have a closer, and when we come back, we'll talk about just the last couple picks, and we're going to move into some other fantasy baseball stories here. 4 more picks I can tell you about, and we might even talk about catchers in this 2-catcher league. So don't go anywhere. We're staying in this league right here on Sports Grid.
Want to be the next Daily Fantasy Millionaire? Dunk on your NBA DFS competition with DailyRoto.com and dominate on FanDuel and DraftKings this season. Compete with the pros with DailyRoto.com, Optimizer, and the most accurate projections in NBA DFS, plus lineup alerts, breaking news, late swap support, and much more. Save 10% on winning NBA DFS advice with promo code DUNK. Visit DailyRoto.com/dunk to learn more.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Thank you.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, in this league.
Look at us. Look at us.
Huh? Who would have thought?
Not me. Not me.
Who would have thought?
Not me. Not me.
Look at us.
Look at us.
Who would have thought?
Not me. Not me.
Welcome back. It is In This League on Sports Grid. 3 hours of In This League. We give you every week. If you miss any of it, well, there's a podcast. Maybe you're listening to it. Well, did you know, listener, that we're on all the podcast places? You can listen on Spotify, iHeartRadio, wherever you want. You can find In This League, not just this radio show, and I highly suggest you subscribe to it, but all of the rest of the content that we do. Prospect One, ITL Fantasy Football, ITL Fantasy Baseball, Basketball. We've even got a wrestling one with our boy Joe Pizzapia. Just search In This League. You're going to find all of the content on all the podcast platforms. But, of course, Sports Grid, they provide you with even live on the app. So make sure that you are dialed in. You're listening to the radio. You can catch us. Pump the numbers, man. Download the podcast. Listen live. Just tell them that
what
you like ITL.
What league number are you in?
I am league something. I don't know.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
How do I even know what league it is? I don't know. It's like nine. I think it's nine. It's seven or nine. One of the two.
Okay. Seven or nine. Yeah. All right.
All right.
Is Pinowski in your league?
Yes, he is. He is. That is the one.
I think I found it.
Okay. So just picking up, we're talking about my league and TGFBI because Bogman and Bubba are going to go through it. And interestingly, just because I went so off brand with what I would probably normally do, but because this is, it doesn't matter if I finish like ninth or third or 15th or second, because this is Ricky Bobby. You've got to finish first for it to like even matter. Like maybe you could finish second. You could be like top 50 overall. And you could, I've seen people do that. They're like, I'm a top 30 finisher in TGFBI on the Twitter bio. And it's like, cool, man. Cool.
I was top 15 in my league last year.
Participation trophy. Very good. That's very, very good. So I just wanted to do something different than what I did last year. And I wanted to go heavy categorical chasing. So I've, you know, Tatis Jr., Verlander, VR, Altuve, Glasnow, and Joey Gallo. So there is one big power bat with, you know, rightfully so, all of my bats could hit 20 and the others could probably hit 30. I've got a huge stolen base guy. Tatis is in there. Maybe Altuve chips in a little bit, but I've got some speed covered by at least two guys. I've got power covered by four of them now, or three of them, however that goes. Four more picks that I can tell you about here is round seven. I did something extremely off brand, Bogman.
You took a good player.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Now, there were guys that went way earlier that I wanted. There's nothing I could do about, like, I had dreams of Soler, wasn't happening. I had looked at Oscar Mercado, didn't happen. Nick Castellanos was someone I really wanted, but I'm sitting here and it was pick like 103, I want to say. And Gary Sanchez is in there. So this is the very late seventh round, pick 100 something. And this is a two catcher league and only one catcher had gone, and Romuto went in the fourth round, almost mid fourth round here. And I just decided I'm going to jump on it. You know, I'm going to get one of these guys. Why not get Gary Sanchez, 30 plus home run power. I'm looking for elite power at every position I can. It's either elite power or speed. I'm not getting speed from the catcher position. So I drafted Gary Sanchez. Coming back, and I got to get your take on both of these, was the most on brand thing I could have done. Carlos Correa was there at pick, whatever this was now, 108.
I almost said a bad player, but see, I just...
Very good. Now, I did want Zach Gallen a lot, and he had went one pick before me. And if you realize, I now have Tatis, VR, Altuve, and Correa. So Correa can slot in at utility until VR gets outfield eligibility, and I pop him out in the outfield because there's another 30 home run bat that I can pop in at shortstop. It doesn't matter. Utility, 30 home runs in Carlos Correa as long as he's healthy. I mean, he's no Giancarlo Stanton or anything, but Sanchez and Carlos Correa post-pick 100, Bog. What do you think?
So give it to me again. Give me the rundown again. Give me the whole team real quick. Yes.
Do you want the next two picks too?
No, not the next two. Okay. Just up to this point.
So Tatis Jr., Verlander, VR, Altuve, Tyler Glasnow, Joey Gallo, Gary Sanchez, Carlos Correa.
So your pitchers right now are Glasnow and Verlander. Do you have any more?
I do. I did draft my picks. Later. 9 and 10 were both pitchers.
Okay. All right. So you made up for it there. Cause my first thought was you're a little light on pitching, but I'm not a big grab the catcher first guy, but Gary Sanchez falling post pick 100. I mean, that's kind of our line, have the same thing.
It's the catcher line is essentially what it is.
JT Realmuto somewhere in the 60s and 70s. He probably goes higher than that, especially in two catcher leagues most of the time. And then Gary Sanchez and everybody else post 100. So you said you got him at pick 109.
Gary Sanchez, it was like 103. Or let me see if I can see it on my team board. Does it say where you pick them?
I don't think it does, but no. It doesn't matter. It was post 100. And you snapped him up. I like that. And then adding Glasnow. I feel like Glasnow fell. Where did he go?
Yeah. I got him in the back end of the fifth round. Actually, the team right behind me, Matt Davis he had tweeted me right after that. He was like, he was pissed that he missed out on Glasnow.
I like that. Why can't I find where Glasnow went in my draft? He went with the fifth pick in the fourth round in mind.
Oh,
so
wow. Okay.
We had a big pitcher run after I went Darvish and Alonso on the 3-4 turn. It went Nola, Morton, Glasnow, Kershaw, Hader, and Granke all went in the fourth. So big pitcher run there. So I guess he fell a little bit in yours. So I like getting that value there.
Yeah.
What round again? One more time.
Glasnow was in the fifth, Gallo in the sixth, Gary Sanchez in the seventh, and Carlos Correa was the third pick in the eighth round. So whatever that number is.
I got sniped on Gallo in mine. I'm pick 15. He went pick 14 in front of me. I was pissed.
And so, I mean, I'm looking at this, Boggs, and I'm saying, I mean, maybe VR is not a 30 home run potential guy. Every other hitter, Carlos Correa, Sanchez, Gallo, Altuve, and Tatis, it's five players in the top eight picks. They all have 30 home run potential. VR and Tatis, I mean, you know, if I want to play safe, I probably got 50 stolen bases combined from those guys. Altuve is a question mark. You know, maybe you get 10 if you're lucky, probably get more like five. Gallo's stole a tiny little handful. Correa, those aren't necessarily speed guys. Those are big power guys, big RBI guys that I've got. So runs, RBIs, homers, I balance out stolen bases. And then with the last two picks I've actually taken in the end of the ninth round, I got Craig Kimbrell. So I got my first closer, and this was after a run. Here are guys that went before Craig Kimbrell, Boggs, just for your sake. Taylor Rogers, of course, Brad Hand, Hector Neris, Raisel Iglesias, and Ken Giles all went before Craig Kimbrell. And he was just clear. Like the next closer that went four picks later was Hansel Robles. So this was me buying in on the bounce back of Kimbrell. And I came back, and this was the biggest, toughest decision for me. Because Max Kepler had gone a couple picks before me, and that pissed me off. I was looking at power bats, and I wanted Franmil Reyes, and he went right after I took Craig Kimbrell. The only one left was Kyle Schwarber, and I really wanted Schwarber. I was looking at Carlos Santana and Justin Turner, but Jesus Luzardo was still sitting out there, and I know people have been paying up high prices on him. This is Roto, and if I get anywhere in the projected totals of like 150 innings, that's going to be pretty valuable on Jesus Luzardo. He's been going averaging around 115. I got him at like 138 or something like that. It was in the 130s. So I decided to snap up, you know, maybe 150 Chris Paddock like innings from Jesus Luzardo in the beginning of the 10th round. And that's what I did. So I've got Glasnow, Verlander, and Luzardo.
It still could be more than that. for Lazardo
absolutely.
As well.
They've given no cap to his innings.
Bob Melvin said, we don't have a hard cap. So I know there's probably some type of a cap, but if the A's are close to the playoffs, I mean, I think they'll just let him keep going. You know,
I'm into this. And it's again, this whole team is based on first place, do or die. This is what I'm doing. I don't look at that because a lot of people will say, like, you know, like our boy Pizzapia will do, like, well, I'm going to go all in. And if, you know, I'll either finish first or last. This isn't a team that finishes last, but I'm going for the upside battles. If Lizardo has more innings, Craig Kimbrel bounces back. I mean, same thing with guys like Correa and Sanchez being healthy and Gallo, you know. I'm going to accumulate stats at a very, very rapid pace. But the key is, and I'd say the key to anybody doing this type of stuff, super fun. First 10 picks. We're not remotely close to this thing being over because I've got holes at positions. I got to fill first and third. I've got to make sure that I'm getting more stolen bases. You know, a guy like Malik Smith already went in my draft. I've got to make.
How far away are you from being up again?
I mean, as we're recording this, I've got like 8 picks, and 8 picks I will be up.
Okay. Who do you want next?
I've got Byron Buxton is somebody that's on my list if I'm going for that kind of power
speed.
In
what round?
Round 11.
Oh, okay. That's where I got him.
Yasiel Puig is still out there, like we talked about. I'm looking at Puig. E5 in the general range just for first base because I don't have it. I'm also looking at Luke Weaver, Matt Boyd. And I mean, that's kind of like my initial list. Now I could get decimated across the board for all those guys and I might have to pivot, but I want, and Jake Odorizzi, he's still out there. So I might want to look at more pitching. Like I would like to get some innings guys since I've gotten players like Lizardo as well. So in an ideal world, two awesome bats are here for me with my next two picks, but I might go hitter pitcher again.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Yeah. I don't think E5 has gone yet in my draft, and Kevin Newman went. Good Lord. I need a shortstop. It's becoming a problem. I think
Paul DeJong
went. E5 hasn't gone yet.
You get a little DeeDee or Paul DeJong.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Paul DeJong went. So, E5 DeeDee has to have gone. Hold on. Let me. No, he's still there. Juan. I almost said Juan Encarnacion. Edwin Encarnacion has still not gone. So
I'll see that maybe you need to be picking up. Maybe it will be Team E5. All right. There's a little look at the TGFBI fun checkout. You guys can see the boards tweeting out. We'll probably recap maybe next week what the bottom 11 through 20 or whatever looks like as we keep recapping these teams, but don't go anywhere. We got some fantasy baseball stories coming up right here on In This League.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
It's In This League.
What? How can we be expected to teach
Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh
to learn how to read if they can't even fit inside the building?
In This League
has to be at least 3 times bigger than this.
It is In This League right here on Sports Grid. Welcome in. Thank you for listening, friendos. You can find us at InThisLeague.com. You know what'll happen when you do it? Ah, we gotcha. It's going to take you to our Patreon. Patreon.com/ITL Army. But guess what? It's going to be all right. We've got awesome stuff over there. Starting March 1st, it's a brand new month, so it is literally the best time to sign up because when you sign up on the first of the month, you have an entire month in front of you. And what you're going to have is our brand new rank update, which will be updated probably a couple times leading up to your final drafts. We've got comedy secret shows that are listed on there. We've got other lists like my top 500 prospects for Dynasty, my Dynasty top 300. Just a ton of different lists that can help you in your fantasy baseball season. The GroupMe rooms, you want to talk with other listeners that have joined up and supported us. You get access to us. There's a ton of cool stuff. Patreon.com/ITL Army, or the cheat code is inthisleague.com. MLB article here. this is a fun little conversation, because this is the time of year where, you know, we're banking on players to improve from last year. You're getting values. There's, you know, primed big players that we've loved or have been fantasy, you know, fantasy assets that have just fallen off. As a matter of fact, one of the guys in this article is someone we were just talking about when we were breaking through my TGFBI draft. And Will Leach from MLB.com has an article up of five big name players prime for a comeback. Now, it's not a fantasy article, but if they come back, it's relative to fantasy. And none of these names are inside the top 100, though three of these guys last year would have been in the first round conversation. The one closer is a little bit in question, but there's some serious names in here. So let's talk about it. And number one on this list is one that I buy into and I give serious consideration to Chris Davis, not the Orioles one, because if that was listed on here, I would LOL.
He may be making more money than K-Riss.
But, absolutely. He is.
He ain't better. So.
I mean, he is robbing Baltimore blind. Chris Davis is robbing Baltimore worse than the drug epidemic.
Chris Davis is the root of all issues in Baltimore, I believe. So. Yeah.
Chris Davis, who's famously hit 247 from 15 to 18. They said in this, it goes, the downward tilt for Davis has little to do with his batting averages. OBP fell nearly 30 points last year and went his power. The thing that he's always had going for him ran away from him. He only hit 23 homers, less than half of what he'd done the year before. He might not reach 48 homer highs of 2018. And he has a bit of a calf injury to start camp here, but it's difficult to imagine him not bouncing back somewhat this year and in his 32-year season. Even his teammate Matt Chapman was kind of opining about Chris Davis having a big comeback. He's healthy. That's kind of the big thing. Healthy.
Outside of the calf injury to start camp.
Okay, but
by the way, look at how miserable he looks in this video.
He's so unhappy.
He looks because the screen cap is from 2 days ago. 3 days ago, of course. And it says Chris Davis on finding 2018 form. So it's probably someone like, what are you going to do to get better?
Yeah.
And exactly. He just looks so mad.
Like how I interviewed Buxton. I was like, so let's talk about your horrible season to start with.
Jerk.
So the idea is like, yes, he's got a little bit of this calf thing, but we just sit back. We get healthy for the start of the season. So, I mean, it's a little preemptive for me to actually say he is healthy. But a lot of, if you want to go and, you know, look at Fangraphs into projection systems, most people believe in the pushback for Chris Davis. Because like we said, three straight years of 247. Last year, he hit 220. His BABIP was kind of in line, though. The power just absolutely decimated. And you can claim that from injuries. 23 homers last year, but they met in the middle. Most of the systems, the bat from Derek Carty has him hitting 35 homers and a 232 average with 90 RBIs. ATC, Ariel Cohen's projection system, 36 homers with 95 RBIs. So if we're in the mid-30s, that is an absolute comeback from Chris Davis, though no one will let it focus on anything outside of him hitting 247 again, of course.
Didn't Emily Walden hit him up and say, hey, you're going to have a big year? And he said, yeah, I'm going to hit 247 again.
No, I didn't see that. Did that happen?
I think it was Emily Walden. I can't remember who it was. I think it was her, though. So. Oh,
that's fantastic. So buy or sell Chris Davis comeback this year?
I'm a buy on Chris Davis, but I just don't like, you know what you're getting from him. It's nice power numbers, no stolen bases, and a crappy batting average. So if you can float 225, you know what I mean? If the rest of your team is good, like the team that I've built in TGFBI, I don't think I could float him right now. I need to add.
Well, me either. I got Joey Gallo and Gary Sanchez. So I'm in agreement with you. I can't really float it either.
Right. So I think he's going to have another good year and he's going to have a lot of homers and stuff, but he is a conditional player. So you have to either have built for him or have a team that can handle him sinking to, because if he hits close to 250, you're fine. Doesn't really matter. He's okay.
Yeah.
He's just contributing. But if he hits 225, it's going to start to drag you down a little bit. So,
but we're both buys.
Yeah, I'm a buy for sure.
Number two.
He just went in my draft, 13th round, by the way.
Oh, really? Okay. Number two, this is one I absolutely buy into. It's Edwin Diaz, as it says in the beginning of the article, saying there's not a ton of logic to what happened with him in 2019. He went from the most dominant, notching 57 saves and a sub-2 ERA the year before when he was in Seattle, to having a 5.59 ERA and giving up a hit an inning. His arm seemed to be fine in 19, as claimed in the article, and he claims to have been more of a mechanical issue. If you actually remember late last season, I believe he had worked with DeGrom on a slider, and that had a slight improvement. He was working on his grip, and he had an improvement for just a little bit, and then it all went awry. But he still had a 39% strikeout rate, which was top five in qualified closers last year. Has to bring down the home runs, but as everybody still, and I agree here, this is a 25-year-old stuff that all of his stuff is still intact. If it was mechanical, that's been the focus all offseason. We've seen him be great. We've seen him be bad. I am a believer that this might be the number one on the list because he was so bad last year that I believe Edwin Diaz is prime for a big comeback this year.
Yeah, he was terrible last year. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. His ERA was up over five. He got usurped for the role a couple times by Seth Lugo. And they're saying that he's in a competition to keep that job this year. But I think there were a couple factors that added up last year. He pitched too many innings in Seattle the year before. He's dealing with new catchers, a new spot, moved across the country. And these are the things of changing scenario that can, uproot a guy, and especially a guy that's hitting on all cylinders. You know, you change a little bit and it can all kind of come apart. But I think you're right. I'm all aboard the Edwin Diaz train. I mean, I don't think I'm as high as you are on him, but I would take him if he's there in many, many drafts. So
that's what I'm hoping to do. All right. Next up on the list was a guy I drafted. We talked about Craig Kimbrel. So in here, it says one of the positives, it says one positive for Kimbrel in 2020. One positive for Kimbrel in 2020 has already happened. Oh, he's out throwing and running and playing in spring training. That didn't make sense to me for a minute. He says we can all argue whether or not Kimbrel's long layoff, because remember, he didn't sign until June, was a primary reason.
He did have that first round tag on him last year.
Yeah. And remember, he didn't sign until June. So they're saying, you know, can you attach that to the struggles? I think it's probably relatively appropriate. In it says there were signs that Kimbrel had been slowing down a bit in 18. He was a little less effective. That hasn't vanished. And with a full spring training, the team is paying him big money and being a stabilizing force in the bullpen. So what's funny is outside of maybe the injury, there's not much given of why he's going to be the guy coming back and being a big breakout. But I think there's a lot of obvious points to him. He's one of the game's best closers who had no spring training. He was just pitching around, didn't sign until June, and then got thrust in with the Cubs. I'd say there's a lot of weird mental warfare there, but he's back healthy. He is throwing in spring training with the Cubs right now. So, I hate to buy in every single one of these, but this one just seems like an obvious one. This Craig Kimbrel, if you talk from the fantasy perspective, he's a cheap buy. I just got him at like closer 12 or something like that. And I hate to do it. I'm 3 for 3 on the buys of the comeback.
Yeah, I mean, well, there's only five guys on this list, and this is, this is a great list. So I'm in on Kimbrel as well. I don't think I've taken him in any spots yet, but I absolutely would. And I know I've taken him in a couple mocks that we've done. Look, he's going to be the closing pitcher for the Cubs, and the Cubs are projected to win a ton of games. So, he can have his struggles. I don't think he's a top five closer like he once was, but who cares? You know, when you're going for closers, the ERA, unless it's five or more, doesn't really matter. It does. I mean, you can have better closers than that, but it's all going to kind of equal out because people are adding crappy closers to their good closers as well. So, the ERA matters, but what you really want is the saves. He's going to have tons of opportunities for that. And I'm excited for him.
Now, we only got about a minute here, but I will just tell you, I'm not really into the other two, especially because they're making the article is the big comeback, the five big comebacks for 2020. And number four is Justin Upton. And number five is Joey Votto. I love Joey Votto as a person, but I don't see the bat returning to significance where we can call him a comeback. And you know, Justin Upton got a whole lot of like his body has physically changed. He's not being seen as like a primary run supporter for Trout now with Anthony Rendon in there. So I could see how you know, that could be positive. But I think the best years for Votto are behind him. I think he's now in a Joe Mauer, Buster Posey type of a range where we just dream about what we knew. Oh. And I think I know. And I think Justin Upton is just an injury waiting to happen. So, I mean, you know, only 20 seconds, Boggs, but do you agree or disagree on any of these two?
I would say that I agree on both. If I had to pick one, I'm more in on Upton than
sure,
I am on Votto.
I agree.
So if Upton falls, I'll actually take him. I don't see a spot where I'd take Votto.
All right, when we come back, we've got a very interesting article from Fantasy Pros, the must-have players. So we're going to talk about that. So don't go anywhere. More In This League coming up.
Want to light the lamp on DraftKings and FanDuel this NHL DFS season? Then join DailyRoto.com and learn from the best daily fantasy sports players. Get updated fantasy hockey projections for NHL DFS, line combinations, and build stacks for tournaments in the DailyRoto NHL DFS lineup optimizer. If you are playing daily fantasy hockey without using DailyRoto, you are doing it wrong. Enter the promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount.
In This League.
I love you.
Ready to party!
Final segment, hour two. It's In This League. It's Bogman and the Welsh. Casey Bubba coming up with Bogman. Hour three. Gotta love it. Love our boy Casey Bubba. It was fantastic. Just a couple weeks ago, I mean, he could not have timed it more poorly because spring training is happening now, but it wasn't his choice. It was a work-based thing.
Yeah.
But, I mean, just come on a couple weeks later, Bubba. But we got to go hang out at the bar. You spent more time with him than I got to, but we all got to at least go hang out at a bar, eat some food, get some drinks when the waitress decided to actually serve us. The minute I got there, she disappeared forever. I finally got up, and I was just pissed off, and I went to the bartender. I'm like, can I get a drink? He's like, oh, yeah, just, you know, your waitress will be there. I'm like, no, she won't. She hasn't been here for 15 minutes.
I think
like,
she left.
I just want a drink. And they're like, oh. And then immediately everybody came and helped us out and tried to make jokes and everything. But we had a great time hanging out. What's on the docket for Bubba in the next hour?
We're going to talk some TGFBI and a little bit of NFL as well. So and the injuries. I mean, I talked to you about the injuries and stuff that happened over this past week in spring training on the In This League pod on the most recent one that came out on Friday, catchers and relievers. We kind of updated the week before that, but I haven't talked to KC about those yet. So I'm going to ask him what he thinks about all these guys getting banged up.
Killer stuff. Hour three coming up. KC Bubba, 12 must have players. According to Fantasy Pros, we cite them sometimes talking about some of their articles. Hey, they aggregate some good stuff. So go check it out. Give it clicks because we're going to use it as some content here. So I don't want you to be lazy and not go give them a click and us just stealing their content. But this is conversation fodder here because that is, as you labeled it when we were talking off air, it's kind of a very BuzzFeedy type of thing. The 12 must-have players. I mean, credit to them because they're also going to take scrutiny necessarily on it when you say things like that and you drop the players. But let's see what they have, Bogman. I'm going to drop the first two, and you have Jamie Calandro?
Calandro.
Calandro from Fantasy Team Advice. And Mr. Bobby Sylvester. Jamie says Ahmed Rosario is the player that is a must have. ADP has him around a 154. He says Rosario looks like a player you can get a bargain if you believe his second half is real, which he says he does. His WOBA jumped from 300 to 340. His WRC plus went from 88 to 114, and he dropped his strikeout rate. That's what Jamie says on Bobby Sylvester. He picked Avisel Garcia, who's going around 320. He says he loves Robert Tucker, Chris Davis, their ADPs, but there'll be some teams I miss out on them. That won't be the case, however, for Garcia, who is my number one must-have player this year. Going over to Milwaukee, sees him as a 20-homer, 10-stolen-base guy, and he did that in just 125 games. Those numbers should jump, according to Bobby Sylvester. So Ahmed Rosario, Avisel Garcia, must have, or either one of them a must have for you?
I actually kind of like both of these guys. I was bigger on Avisel Garcia. I had to pump the brakes a little bit when Counts came out, Craig Counsell, their manager, and said that it's going to be between Garcia and Ryan Braun in left field. So that 125 games that he played last year might be his cap for this season. I'm not fully convinced on that. Ryan Braun, very old, very injury prone. So I still like Garcia, but I think, you know, should he go in the top 200 players? I'm kind of on the fence about that. And then Ahmed Rosario, Ahmed Rosario, I don't think is a must have, but he is one of your last decent stolen base options if you haven't got them later in drafts like this, says round pick 150. So not even necessarily later in drafts. If you're in a 15 man about, the first third of the draft, he's one of your last bastions of swipes if you haven't gotten them. So I'm okay with these. I wouldn't say that they're must have.
Yeah, I'm going to say neither one are must haves. I see the space for both of them. Ahmed Rosario could make a lot of sense, but you know, in my eyes, I don't see him as must have because I would prefer to have Elvis Andrus from instead of him, just more consistent. Yes. So that's why I don't consider it must have, but I get like if I miss out on those guys, then I'm going to really want him. The next two, Nate Miller from Fantasy Pros and then Carmen Mayorano. Let's see if I said that right.
You got that right. I think that's good.
Nate says Tommy Pham, who's going off at 82nd overall, says he's got an 856 OPS with 20 homers, 22 stolen bases, and 91 runs. Does that sound good? He says it certainly does. Willie Calhoun for Carmen, he says, I'm going to be targeting Calhoun as my outfielder four in all of my 15-team leagues. He has a full-time gig in left field. Let's see, left field, middle of the batting order, leading to a combined 180 runs in RBIs. If his power can translate into game power, he's a sneaky bet to win the AL home run crown. Wow. That is quite a jump they're giving to Willie Calhoun here. So Tommy Pham, who I want to point out, just got banged up and he's not, I saw him walking around camp. There's this report that he was going to like not do anything for a while. And because he had like a strained oblique or something like that, and that he was going to be sitting for a couple weeks. And I disputed the report because I literally that morning had saw Tommy Pham walking around camp, fully dressed up, not limping or anything. And
Way better than Christian Walker.
Yeah, I know. I didn't hurt Tommy Pham. And and to my credit, I think a little bit, Tommy Pham is already going to be DHing, I think, this weekend at some point.
He's so fine.
He's already back hitting, but just a little bit banged up. So Tommy Pham, Willie Calhoun. Either one of these guys a must own player.
That's going to be a no for me, dog. I mean, I like both these guys. I'll say that. But Tommy Pham, where is Tommy Pham hitting at the top of the lineup for San Diego? Is he hitting one overall? Do we know?
I believe he's going to hit one. Let me look. Am I doing?
It's him or Tatis, right? Aren't they going 1-2?
Ooh, you know what? I'm going to say Tatis, I think Tatis one. Is one and Pham two.
And Pham two. Let me but see. I still think he can confirmed. Steal these. Yeah.
I'm Roster Resource. I'm looking now.
Yeah, he could still steal a ton of bases, but in the top 100, I think there's plenty of guys like Tommy Pham. I like taking him. I'm not against him at all, but he's not a must have. I think you're more of a Willie Calhoun guy than I am. So I'm what actually do you think about him.
I'm gonna say Tommy Pham is not necessary. Again, this is the same thing as Rosario, where like the idea to say Tommy Pham is the must own, I think, negates the idea that like Ramon Laureano or Robles exist, though Pham might be the cheaper option, but I'm still not going to say he's a must own. But I'll say a yes with Willie Calhoun, though I don't necessarily agree with the breakdown, like the whole idea, because he talks about like the power grades on him of grade 65 out of 8. I don't know why we're talking about power grades of someone who's, you know,
played, a veteran.
Yeah. He's not like a rookie anymore, so we don't need to talk about that. And they're kind of talking about like, I don't know, like they're adding up like what the middle of the order combined. I the logic of what's being broken down here doesn't make sense of why. But I do agree that Willie Calhoun is a must own player because post 150, this is a guy that I do not think he will be competing at all for an AL home run crown. I don't think remotely close, but I do think he can hit 30 homers. So 30 homers, good RBIs and runs, middle of the order for Willie Calhoun. At post 150, I'm absolutely in on it. And I will agree. I'll say Willie Calhoun is a must own player. So this is the first one I agree with.
Who are the next guys? Because this next one, I'll just say him here. It's Max Kepler for Todd D and Michael Brantley for Dave McKay from the Fantasy Sports Brain. I like the Max Kepler call, but I'll say this. He's not going to be a must own for me because I would rather have Kyle Schwarber. And at least in NFBC, Schwarber is going behind Kepler, surprisingly. Who would you rather have between Kepler and Schwarber?
I want Kepler, but to your same point, like I passed up, Kepler went a little bit before me, and I have like Franmil Reyes and Schwarber and Kepler all bunched together. Like they're all the power hitters that I want, and I just order it Kepler, Schwarber, Reyes.
They're right next to each other for me, to be honest. Schwarber and Kepler, it's a coin flip, but I do have distinct if I'm... It's not a, I have enough guys on the Cubs. No, I don't care. I'm taking Schwarber too.
Yeah.
He hit 280 in the second half. If you can get that out of his bat for a full season, I'm not saying he will, and I don't expect him to. But if he does, he just has upside. And I think what you're going to get from Kepler is what you saw last year, which is great.
Yeah, I mean, so. I like Kepler. I mean, if for argument's sake here, I'm actually going to say, because I don't want to say no to everything or yes to everything. I think Kepler is the design of a player I want. I don't see him as disposable as I was making Rosario to be. Kepler is a target. Where Brantley, I love what Brantley does. You know, he's just solid across the board. But I don't think he's a must-own because I think you can get Brantley like 2.0, like 5 to 6 rounds later in Brian Reynolds. So I'm going to say 100%. No on Reynolds, or I'm sorry. Yes on Reynolds, no on Brantley. Yes on Kepler. Okay. How about these three? Here's three pitchers here. Frankie Montas from Jamie again, Sonny Gray from Nate Miller and Lance Lynn from Todd Clark. You have to pick one. If you tell me they're all must owns, that's great. But you have to pick one as a must own.
Oh, it's Montas. Yeah, it's easily Montas for me.
Would you say, even if I didn't say that, would you say Montas, you will completely agree, is a must-own?
Yes. Yeah. I like Lance Lynn, too. Finally kind of breaking out, him and Mike Minor having big years last year. I've never been a Sonny Gray guy. I'm more into Sonny Gray than I ever have been coming off his great year, but I think you're paying up for him now. But Montas, obviously suspended last year. We don't like that, but I just remember so vividly our guy Nick Pollock, who is absolutely the pitching expert in this industry, talking about how, look, I don't want to say that the steroids didn't help him at all, but I can tell you that mechanically he was doing stuff to help him, and that's why he was good, and yeah. It's probably not because of steroids. So I got to go with Montas. I think he's one of the – it's him and Lynn, depending on what league you're in, going cheaper. So I'm kind of a take the cheap of those two, but usually it's Montas. So
yeah, I would actually agree with you on this, even though he's kind of costly. It's just because his upside is so great comparative to Sonny Gray and Lance Lynn. So I'd agree with you. Hey, there's a couple more on this list, so go check it out. Type in the 12 must-have players, Fantasy Pros. You'll find the article. This is from the Fantasy Pros staff. You can check that out and get informed and give this some clicks. Hope you guys enjoyed that. I am out of here. But ITL's not done. Hour 3 coming up. It is Bogman and Casey Bubba, so don't go anywhere. More in this league coming up right here on Sports Grid.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.